This week we are concluding our sermon series on the book of Romans, and we are doing so with the last few verses of Romans chapter 8. Listen now for God's holy word, Romans 8, 31 through 39. Paul says, "What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring charges against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. Paul begins this passage by saying, "What then are we to say about these things?" The passage begins with a look back. And if you remember from last week, we had a passage where Paul mentions three different kinds of groanings. Paul acknowledges that creation is groaning, is yearning. Creation is yearning for God's plans to be fulfilled here in this world. If we think about Jesus being born into this world, we often think about the prophecy of the prophet Isaiah, that God's people were in a place of darkness, and the light of God came to shine in that darkness, right? Jesus came as the light of the world into a world that was in a situation of need. The world was in darkness. It needed God's help. It needed that light to be shown into the world. And so Paul talks about creation yearning, creation groaning. Things are not the way that they should be in this world. Amen? Amen. Things are not the way they should be in this world. And so Paul says all of creation is groaning for transformation, groaning for God's plans to be fulfilled in this world. And so that's the first groaning. The second groaning is Paul says we groan. We have this groaning because we too acknowledge and recognize that there is brokenness and things aren't the way they should be. And so we have this groaning within us that we want to see God's plans fulfilled. And then the third groaning is a more encouraging kind of groaning, which is that the Holy Spirit is with us and the Spirit groans on our behalf. In this situation of groaning where the world is groaning and we're groaning, the Spirit is with us. So Pastor Don last week preached about how the Spirit is with us nonetheless. And the Spirit is with us groaning out those prayers that are too deep for us to find the words. So Paul says, what then are we to say about these things? And then he delivers this wonderful message of encouragement that nothing is going to stand in the way of God's love for us and for this world. Who will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? It's one of the most beautiful and cherished phrases and passages from the book of Romans. But what's interesting to me about this passage, the thing that sort of caught my attention this week as I was reading it and studying it, is the fact that Paul has quite a long list of troubles and difficulties and things that stand in the way of God's plans. I went through and counted. There are 16 things. Paul lists 16 troubles, difficulties, powers, forces, obstacles, challenges that stand in the way of God's plans unfolding in this world. Hardship, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, the sword. He mentions death, life, angels, rulers, things present, things to come, powers, height, depth, heights and depths. 16 different things. I mentioned this to Lee as I came in this morning, 16 things. And he said, you're not going to preach on all 16, are you? No, I'm not going to preach on all 16. I resonated with this passage this week, as I think we all can, right? The world is going through, we and in our world, in our church and our ministries, we're going through challenging times, right? We're going through challenging times. It feels like there's a lot of things that stand in the way of this world being what we know and what we believe God wants this world to be. As with Jesus' incarnation into this world, it feels like there's a lot of darkness, and we want to see the light of God's love shine into that darkness. But we feel and experience that there are a lot of challenges standing between the vision of what we know the future can be and should be, and where we find ourselves here today. And so, as I was looking at all of these 16 things, I realized that they all, for Paul, were things that he himself faced in his ministry as an apostle for Jesus. Paul believed sincerely in the power and the goodness of this message that he had, that God looked at this world with love and with grace and with forgiveness. And in faith in Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, God was intervening in this world to make this world a better place. And so Paul believed fervently and going out into this world to try and make this world a better place. And what he's saying in this passage is that all these 16 things might try to stand in our way, but what? They can't do it, right? God's love for us, God's power in us, are stronger than all of these 16 things. It was inspiring to look into these things and to realize what Paul and the early apostles went through to go out there and to try to make the world a better place. It was inspiring to look at these 16 things and to realize what Paul and his fellow apostles did to take the light of Christ that was in their lives and to shepherd that light into other places in the world, right? The first few things that Paul mentions in here, famine, nakedness, peril, persecution, distress, and hardship, those are things that I think represent Paul's journeys, his traveling. Paul took this message about Jesus and he wanted to bring it to people who hadn't heard it yet. And so Paul was willing to experience hardship and difficulty in traveling out into this world. He has a similar list of things that he talks about in 2 Corinthians. And he gets a little bit more specific there, that he, Paul, an apostle, went out into this world and he traveled in order to bring the good news to places that hadn't heard it yet. And traveling back in the first century was a very challenging and difficult experience. And so, do you remember in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus tells his apostles, don't worry about what you will eat, and don't worry about what you will wear? Well, Paul talks about how he experienced those challenges as he made these long journeys between different places to bring the good news of the gospel to people who hadn't heard it yet, to let people know that in Jesus Christ there is no condemnation, that God looks at us and says, you are my beloved child, and I care for you, and your sins are forgiven, and my Holy Spirit can come into your life and give you peace and motivate you to do good things in this world. And so Paul traveled, and he experienced not having enough food, and he traveled, and he experienced not having enough clothing, and being cold, and experiencing the hardships and the difficulties of those journeys. And then the second list of things, Paul talks about powers and forces that stood in the way of his work. It made me think of one of the stories of Paul's ministries that we can read about in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 16, we hear about Paul's work in the city of Ephesus. Now, Paul was going into these different cities and these different places in the Roman Empire, sharing the good news about God and about Jesus, about forgiveness, about new life, about how God is gathering people together in this these church families where we are siblings together with Christ. And Paul was just, he was turned on with this message that God is a God of love and that we can serve this living God and this God can come into our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul goes into the city of Ephesus and he finds that the people who live in that city, many of them are directing their spirituality, their sense of that there's a God out there. They're directing that towards this temple in the city of Ephesus to the Greek god Artemis, okay? So here in Ephesus, there was a temple with a statue of the goddess Artemis, right? And Paul is explaining to people that statue is nothing and that God doesn't mean anything, but guess what? There is a real living God who has come into my life and has let me know that my sins are forgiven and who has inspired me to be at peace and to know that I'm loved and cared for and has inspired me to love and to care for others and is moving in my life and doing all this amazing things. So Paul goes and he tells this message to the people of Ephesus that there is a true God who is worthy to be served and they don't have to go to the temple to Artemis. Instead, they should gather together and have festive meals together and care for the poor and love one another. And it starts this thing in Ephesus, which is wonderful and beautiful and great. People are coming together in the church. And then guess what happens? The people who run the temple to Artemis get really, really mad that Paul has come into that town and screwed up the good thing that they had going at the temple of Artemis. Because not only is there a temple where people can go and pray, but there's essentially a gift shop as well, okay? And in the gift shop, the local artisans from the city of Ephesus made all kinds of little statues and trinkets and souvenirs that you could buy in the gift shop of the temple of Artemis. And so Paul is doing this sincere good work of going out there and trying to make the world a better place and to let people know that there is a living God who cares about us, who forgives our sins, whose Holy Spirit can come into our lives and direct our lives. And what ends up happening in the city of Ephesus is all of these artisans who are now losing business because people aren't going to the Temple of Artemis any longer. All of these artisans get up in arms and they cause a riot where they go looking for Paul because they want to either kill him, throw him in jail, or toss him out of town, right? So this week, as I'm studying this passage, I'm being reminded that Paul and the early apostles, they went out there into this world to spread the light of Christ. They went out into this world to make a positive difference in this world. And they screwed things up, right? They were troublemakers, as late Senator John Lewis said. They went out and they caused good trouble. They caused good trouble. They brought the good news of the gospel to places and they let people know that God is active in this world and can be active in their lives as well. It was inspiring to me to read their example, to read the example of Paul and the early church, and to be reminded that when the world feels so full of darkness, we as Christians have an opportunity to carry the light of Christ into those dark places and to cause some good trouble. It comes with challenges. It comes with difficulties. There are challenges that come with bringing that light into the darkness. There's the possibility that as we bring the light into the dark places, there are some people who are benefiting from the darkness who don't like that we're bringing the light into those dark places. and they may rise up and try and kick us out of town, try and stop us from doing our work, right? And the message that Paul gives here in Romans chapter 8 is to say, God is for us. Who can be against us? Who can be against us? God is the one who justifies. What does it matter if the world condemns us? This week, I have felt God reminding me, encouraging me to stand up for the things that I believe in. I have felt God encouraging me and reminding me that as Christians, we have a calling that when we see something that isn't right or isn't good in this world, we have a calling to address those issues, to speak up, to be agents of goodness, agents of positive change in this world. Yes, we might experience challenges. Yes, there may be powers and principalities that oppose that good work that we are seeking to do. We might experience 16 speed bumps along the way. We might experience 16 hurdles over which we must vault or climb or someone finish my analogy for me. Jump over, traverse, thank you. But as Paul says here, in Christ Jesus, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We may experience challenges. We may experience forces and powers that seek to stand in our way. But we have the stable starting point of God's love for us found in Jesus Christ. In Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. Instead, in Jesus Christ, we find that God loves us, forgives us, accepts us, welcomes us at God's bountiful table, gives us a place in God's kingdom. We have a stable starting point to begin with. And so with that stable starting point, may we go out and share the light of Christ with others. Thanks be to God. Amen.